Hi, and welcome back to the Convergently Speaking podcast. It's cooling down a lot here in Adelaide at the moment, so I've been inside, a little bit of a hermit, keeping warm today, chewing over a few thoughts. I thought perfect opportunity to hit record and share a few of them with you. As I've been thinking about the direction of this podcast and what I enjoy in a podcast, I've realized that as much as theory and ideas are wonderful and stimulating, it's the podcasts that have a level of honesty and realness to them from the hosts and those that they're interviewing that really keep me coming back. I end up feeling like I almost have a relationship with the hosts, with the people, as I get to know their lives, their stories. And to be honest, now with the tables turned, deciding to try my hand at podcasting, the thought of being open and real, recording it into a computer and putting it up on the internet is a confronting one. Do people want to hear about me? Do people care what I have to say? And I think when we put ourselves out there rather than just our ideas, or at least for guys, because we've often been socialized into taking refuge in ideas, in head thinking rather than heart or gut thinking or knowing. Putting ourselves out there is not, doesn't feel as safe, feels a bit unsafe or a bit scary. But today I wanted to cover two things. I wanted to cover a little bit about who I am and what the name Convergently Speaking means or means to me, why I picked this name. And I want to cover both topics today because for me, the two are interrelated. The name is directly related to who I am and how I understand myself and how I understand the world, my worldview, my rubric for interpreting things. As for demographics, I'm currently 35. I've got three children and a beautiful Minnesotan wife, whom I've been married to for almost 10 years now. And we live in Adelaide in South Australia, where I was born. And obviously my wife's emigrated here. From a professional perspective, I've always worked in fields, helping professions, working alongside people. I've always felt drawn and best equipped, best orientated towards helping people rather than, say, desk work where I'm more solving problems and that kind of thing. I've always felt that I've had a level of depth or introversion in the way I am orientated to the world, and I had this fed back to me from a young age. Being an only child is probably part of it. I learned at a young age how to spend time on my own, analyze my thoughts, analyze the mechanisms of people systems that were going on around me. And I always had a sense that I didn't quite fit in, that I wasn't the same as especially a lot of my male peers when I was a boy, when I was in primary school, and even as I got older. I struggled to fundamentally understand myself. I knew and I noticed early on that I connected more easily with females, the nature of their conversations, just the nature of the way they were orientated to life. But for many years, I didn't know in any conscious way that I could explain who I was and who other people were and the different nuances of different personalities and people that I came across. Why did I connect with this person and why not this person? And as in my 20s, I was exposed to different systems of personality, of understanding society, of understanding psychology. I started to find and realize that there was language for explaining different mechanisms of people's psychology. And so although there's part of me that doesn't want to be yet another Myers-Briggs podcaster, or I don't want to be labeled as jumping on a bandwagon or anything like that, the stronger impulse within me is to share and continue to analyze through these different paradigms human nature, human psychology. The Enneagram and Myers-Briggs and psychodynamic psychological theories and numerous other theories I've studied and been exposed to. None of them contain ultimate truth, obviously, but for me, I find they give me a grammar, a framework, a system, mechanisms to start to explain. Others, yes, but fundamentally to start to explain to myself and to others how I work, how I operate. That was the initial draw. So it was validating to learn many years ago now, for example, that I'm an introvert and what that means, and that there are people that are extroverts and what that means. And gaining this understanding and more layers of nuance into how these two concepts, ideas are defined, gave me more grace for myself, less judgment, and also more grace and compassion and understanding for others as well. As I started to observe, oh, that person's an extrovert. They have these traits. They're not better or worse than me. They're just different. And this is the way that they're different. So as someone that's fundamentally struggled to explain what's happening on the inside of me, the introverted things, I've found these systems to be a godsend. It's like the person that is in a foreign country and they only have 10 or 12 words. And as they start to learn the language and the culture, then they're able to express themselves in a way that they weren't able to before. These systems have given me language to talk about and even to think about ideas, giving me structure in my thinking. So if we look at the Myers-Briggs personality system, for example, as I've journeyed with this and learnt about it, I've settled on INFJ as my best fit personality type. And as an INFJ, the primary way I show up in the world, the primary way I understand things and understand how the world functions and my place in it, is using intuition. Now, when I say intuition, I'm not referring to the common definition, which is, you know, esoteric knowing, knowledge that just comes out of nowhere, and generally is considered, you know, like a spiritual knowing. It can be this and it can include that. But within Myers-Briggs, the way we like to define it, the way it's more accurately thought about, is advanced pattern recognition. That probably sounds abstract. What's advanced pattern recognition? Advanced pattern recognition is an ability to look at disparate things and find patterns between them, to draw together or to connect together things which to another might look not connected at all. So for me, a concrete example would be meeting someone in my personal or professional life, and the way they present, the way they talk, the way they hold themselves triggers something in my mind to tell me, oh, you've seen this before. And I'll be able to go back and use a pattern that's been dormant in my mind of a person I've met or people I've met previously with similar characteristics, similar traits. And I'm able to apply that knowledge, that information, that pattern to my current interaction. So if the person's very direct or quite softly spoken or unsure of themselves or confident or other things like that, there's like a almost like an energetic sense that I get from that person and their presence and their way of showing up that I can then go through and look at a backlog. And this usually happens unconsciously, a backlog of other interactions I've had that were similar. And this informs the way I understand them, relate to them, and ultimately it usually gives me a compassion because I can see where they're coming from, what their perspective is. So if you think about advanced pattern recognition and drawing together disparate concepts and ideas, maybe you're already projecting ahead where I'm going with this. Convergently speaking was a way that I felt summed up really well this mechanism that I have at work in my mind as part of my personality. I love seeing connections. I love drawing connections, the interrelatedness of all things. I love thinking about it, and I love talking about it with others. And I love that I have a grammar for talking about it, for explaining this process. I can now say that my intuitive mind, my intuitive orientation leads me to think dot, dot, dot. Not that I'm saying I'm always right, not that I'm saying it's infallible, but I've realized that intuition is my bias, my default operation, my MO for interpreting and understanding the world. And as I went on to become certified in the Myers-Briggs system, I've now got a solid understanding of all the other pieces of people's personalities and how they, what their bias is in interpreting, learning, and understanding the world. So I feel I've been on a journey now for many years to, and I wasn't conscious of it for a long time, to create a meta pattern, looking at all the different spheres of life, as many as I can anyway, and trying to understand how they're all connected, trying to make meaning from things, trying to see the interrelatedness of human psychology and human health. How is it that we're both feeling and thinking orientated? What role do emotions play in our thinking, and what role does thinking play in our emotions, and all these other related sociological and psychological and developmental fields? Another system, or another way of framing this, another way of trying to bring down to earth and make concrete this abstract idea about being focused on abstract pattern recognition, it's an abstract thing, is the system of spiral dynamics. Some call it the Graves model or integral theory. And this is another vantage point, or another way of understanding this project of seeing connections and trying to, I suppose, draw people together and see their common humanity, their common, the points that their ideas and life stories intersect. Spiral dynamics is a system which came from the work of Claire Graves. Claire Graves passed away in the 70s, I believe, and it was Don Beck that at that time spent some time with Claire prior to him passing away, and started to actually write down and put into a book the ideas and make it into a, essentially completed the work that Claire wasn't able to complete before he passed. And the easiest way I find to sum up spiral dynamics is that it's a system which explains the different worldviews that exist inside in society and also inside people. So if there's one thing we all know about each other, it would be that we all see things differently. No two people have the exact same vantage point, the exact same perspectives. And all you need to do is change suburbs, definitely change countries, to meet people with dramatically different perspectives. So spiral dynamics, or the Graves model, looks at and has given structure and thought to and analyze what are the different worldviews that exist. And I've personally found it really enlightening to just looking at some of the maps of the model. You can look them up online and see the different colors, the different layers that a human goes through throughout their life. We all start at the same place when we're born, the same level or the same color. And as we mature and progress and our brain develops and our life experiences and the experiences of life that happen to us, we progress through these different levels. So, of course, we're not all at the same level. And actually, even if you're 25 or 30 or 50, whatever your age, if you look around at your peers, you're not all at the same level either. We all move through the different stages differently in our own way. Now, no level is better or worse than another, and all of them are necessary. You can't skip over levels. Personally, with my natural inclination to look for patterns and look for higher meaning and the ultimate order of all things, the structure of existence, and especially the structure of human psychology. I've been very drawn to some of the work and some of the psychological ideas that have come out of what we refer to in spiral dynamics as the integral stage. And integral literally is a stage of human growth and development where the person starts to look for systems. They start to realize that there's multiple perspectives throughout humanity, even on the very same issue. And despite feeling and believing that their perspective is inherently more accurate, a person in the integral stage begins to gain distance from that to actually see, hold on, this is my perspective because I'm born in a specific place and time and culture and context. And if I was born somewhere else, to different parents, to different culture, even in a different climate, my perspective may well be very, very different. And so the integral perspective, rather than focusing on the differences or the integral worldview, rather than focusing on the differences, is focused on the similarities. It sees that there's truth in all perspectives, not the same level of truth in all perspectives. Naturally, some will have more, some will have less. But as Ken Wilber, one of the major contributors to the integral way of thinking and worldview, likes to say, no one is so dumb that they get everything wrong. Well, that's my paraphrase. So no one can lack understanding to the degree that everything that they think and believe is wrong. We all have parts, pieces of our perspective that are right, that are true, that are correct. And this is often referred to as pluralism, pluralistic, as the internet has opened up communication channels and knowledge and information. We've all been exposed to increasing complexity and perspectives and points of view, multiculturally, across different religions, and across just different perspectives that exist within our own country. So the integral perspective, so there's lots of words that are used to get at this. Integral, pattern recognition, interconnectedness, unifying conscious, unity, or convergence. So I personally feel I have, as I said, a bias, the personality wiring, that I'm quite focused on this big picture, zoomed out perspective. Anyone that's employed me and been my boss knows, yeah, I can tend to miss details at times. The small nitty gritty details aren't on my radar as much as the bigger story, the bigger pattern. There's been a pain point. There's been a challenge, a struggle, as I've struggled to understand myself and my own psychology. But now that I understand what this is about and where this is coming from, I've been resting into that. I really enjoy that. This is who I am. This is how I show up in the world. So if you're listening to this, either you're a friend of mine and you're putting up with my ramblings, but hopefully you're actually drawn to this because you also want to think convergently. You want to understand more thoroughly how there's connection between things which seem disparate, seem not to have connection. So I want to leave it there for today. I hope that you grasp some of the vision, some of my heart, my passion for this podcast, for why I'm doing it. I really want to keep pursuing resources that I can pass on and also interviews that I can present that explore further this convergent way of seeing the world. And it's not just because this is my natural bias. I'm being honest and upfront about that. But I do believe that finding our commonalities, finding our similarities, and finding the profound role and contribution that every single man, woman, and child has that they can contribute is the way forward for us as a world, as a society, as a world, as a species. If we're going to get along and peace is the way rather than destroying one another, then we need to start finding common ground. And so I think that's really the heart of the mission of this podcast, in addition to my intrinsic desire to do this, the larger mission, the larger motivation I have is to do my little part to help move us along this path. So feel free to drop me a message if you enjoyed this or you had a question or a thought. You can send me a message through my Instagram or Facebook account, and I look forward to talking to you next time on the Convergently Speaking podcast.